Next, we have item 8D, which is a report 2026-094, 2025, Housing and Homelessness Annual Report. We're going to have Bill Smith, our homelessness service manager, take us through his report. Bill, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you, and through you, Chair. So this is just our annual report on progress for our 10-year housing and homelessness plan. So this report just highlights some of our key accomplishments and goals over the past year. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Elena, go ahead, please.
Thank you for this report, and thank you for highlighting the accomplishments and some of the metrics that were provided here. Bill, I had a question in terms of just the comparisons between 2025 and 2024 in relation to the households that were reported to be on the wait list. I note the progress that has been made. And I'm just wondering, how are we faring in relation to other communities of a similar size in terms of how many folks were actually getting off the wait list on an annual basis? So I'm interested to know, are we tracking at average, above average, below average? Just trying to get a sense of whether or not we could be doing better than we are at the moment.
Thank you. Through you, Chair, I'm going to pass that to Rebecca.
Thank you. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. Thanks for the question, Councillor. I'm going to first start with, I'm assuming we're talking about the housing wait list. Okay, I see a nod.
Yes.
It's a great question. It's a bit of a hard one to measure, because in order to look at comparative communities, it's more than just size. So for example, some of the historical factors into this is what I'd like to point out, is that Northumberland County, in terms of the total number of rent geared to income units that we have in this community that were invested in by the provincial and federal government between 30 and 50 years ago, is a much lower number than our neighboring communities. We actually have one of the lower volume of stock of that very critical housing. We also see that we have a lower level of purpose-built rental in our community historically as well. So what that means is that there is an increase of pressure on the system to respond to that. We are also, compared to other communities our size, we are in closer proximity to the GTA, for example. So we also have a higher demand for community housing and affordable housing across all spectrums and all levels in our community, in a community that wasn't invested in 50 years ago to do that. What I will point to is the work that the county has undertaken in the last several years to try to redress that. Currently, today, we have over 100, the NCHC alone has over 100 new units in some form of development, through whether it be design or construction. Elgin Park was completed last year. We continue to look at acquiring small builds to increase transitional housing support. We also are looking to navigate how we can partner and bring in other developers into our community to build that affordable housing. So we are looking at how we can address that going forward. But generally across the province, wait lists are growing at the same level that we're experiencing here, that exponentially more and more households are added to the wait list on an annual basis across the province.
Okay, and I just thank you very much for that. I just have a really quick follow-up, and that's to ask, to what extent do you believe, Rebecca, that Minister Flack is aware of the disproportionate investment into our community as opposed to neighboring communities in terms of some of the housing that you outlined earlier in your comments?
Go ahead, Rebecca.
I think, you know, over the years we have done some advocacy and some requests to the province and federal government. We do continue to receive some provincial support as we're building new units. The specific disparity that I'm speaking to is, you know, almost 50 years old. So it's challenging to go back and address those very historical gaps in the funding. But what we do know anecdotally is that folks who are looking for affordable housing often find affordable housing elsewhere, that we are as expensive as Durham Region, sometimes more expensive. We are more expensive than Peterborough, Kawartha Lakes, Hastings County. We have a very, very inaccessible housing market right now, particularly for those who are low income and looking to rent. And that's some of the things that we're working to try to address within the power that we have as service managers and as a developer through the NCHC.
Any other questions?
Thank you. And I just wanted to finish with a comment saying that one of the things that I'm hearing increasingly in our community, and I'm sure it must be the case right across the county, of the number of seniors that have spent their entire lives in Northumberland County or my instance in Port Hope, and that are finding now at an end of life, in a sense, the inability to afford to stay in the communities in which they have lived their entire lives. And so it is a huge issue.
Go ahead, Rebecca. Did you have a comment on that?
I don't have a specific comment other than it is definitely a huge issue. We see the number of seniors who represent our homelessness population also increasing. We see the need for all types of supports in housing that aren't there, and that also includes long-term care type supports as well. So there are lots of different things that we're seeing in terms of gaps across the system. But I would agree with Councillor Hankivsky's remarks that having places for folks to transition through all stages of their lives in terms of housing is something that we're definitely aware of and are looking at and are trying to navigate solutions towards.
Thank you. Any other comments from committee members? I'll just make a comment more than anything. Back in 2019, you set a goal, or the strategic goal was to have a home for everyone. And at the time, that probably meant a lot, something different than it does today. I mean, the goal is still the same, but everything has changed so much in those 7 or 8 years. And the 6 strategic items that you have listed, are there some that are succeeding more than others? And the ones that we aren't, can we do something different to help to improve those?
Through you, Chair, I'll start off and then maybe Bill wants to add some. The first thing I will say is that we are in the process of initiating our homelessness master plan work with a consultant, of which a part of this is to update and refresh the 10-year housing and homelessness plan, because lots has changed since 2019. You'll note that some of the goals are housing. There's pieces that, and we've talked about this over the past few years, that the homelessness landscapes particularly has shifted and changed in the last several years. And so we need that to be better reflected within our 10-year plan. I do think that in terms of some of the goals that we have, I do think that we are, or the strategies, I think we are making good progress on many of them. I think that we are making, good headway around supporting housing stability. We continue to see diversion work being done. within the NCHC, within our community housing providers, you know, finding new ways to support affordability of housing for individuals. We are increasing our affordable housing options. Building housing takes time. And we have quite a few units in the pipeline working and ready to go and working to find those funding sources that will fund the development of that. We have made good headway on our on some of the work we do to optimize the existing housing stock through investments in CMHC from CMHC in our NCHC portfolio, the completion of building condition audits, our renovation program for homeowners. I think maybe perhaps one of the areas, the strategy number five, building a diverse housing supply. While we have strived to do that in all of the builds that we do, that is one that definitely has is driven by the market and what people are looking to purchase. And so that one we maybe have, that one may be something that's a little bit more outside of our control. And I will let Bill speak to strategies two and four and any others that he wants that are more on the homelessness side.
Rebecca, Bill, go ahead.
Thank you for your chair. So I think there's really, what I'm about to say is pretty obvious. So we need more stock, we need more support for those who are struggling to maintain, and we need more prevention work so that more people aren't at risk or losing their current housing and having to then find themselves in a new market at higher costs. The struggle with that is I don't know that we're ever going to catch up, because right at the pace we're going, more people are at risk or entering homelessness. And so we provide a lot of support, subsidies, we support with rental arrears so people don't lose their housing. And so it's kind of a twofold. We have this group of households that are at risk that we're trying to prevent them from losing. And we have this other group that we're trying to find housing for and find appropriate, safe, supportive housing, so the housing that they require, so that it's not cyclical.
And do we keep those in need involved in helping us to make decisions and getting feedback from them as well?
Yeah, always, because that's what kind of informs us that we really require a lot more supportive housing. So really the community supports to actually help folks maintain their existing housing or support them and support landlords when they take somebody who may be at higher risk.
Councillor Cleveland, you have a comment?
Actually, yeah, Chair, through you to you. You addressed a pretty open-ended question. I just wanted to maybe provide an alternative perspective from someone who doesn't have the specialization in housing, but who's worked in private and understands sort of some of the economics of scale. And I just want to jump on board and agree with Assistant Director Snellgrove on that number five, which is the diverse housing supply. And I just wanted to make a comment that I can appreciate that perhaps our organization is, compared to some of our neighboring communities, maybe slightly below in the provision of affordable units. But I would argue that it is not a failure of this level of government, but instead an inability at the lower levels to get those diverse housing supplies passed through the bureaucratic process. And I'm not going to flash a light on any other community. I'm actually going to turn one right onto the town of Coburg and under my term of 4 years. And I'd like to give an example. Unfortunately, I have received the designation of the development mayor, and I find that very interesting, Chair. And that's because as mayor of Coburg in the last 4 years, I have yet to sign a single major development project in the town of Coburg. It's not that they haven't come forward. It's not that we haven't had almost 10,000 units come up for option, whether it be 117 Durham or whether it be the entirety of a multi-acreage park that could have thousands of homes that was then delayed. But in Coburg, I have watched Coburg Council over the last 4 years say no to a variety of housing projects. As mayor, I stand by the decision of council. But when I became mayor, Chair, there was hundreds of housing projects backlogged, some to the tune of 13 and 14 years. We had thousands of homes that had been pre-approved for tribute that were unable to build because council after council had refused to put the money into the ground to get the sewer line. So what I would say is that this level of government is being asked to fix a problem that isn't theirs to be fixed sometimes, and that perhaps the overabundance of need for affordable and rent-geared income is because we at the lower tiers haven't been building out the apartment buildings, the townhouses, the multi-unit complexes that the provincial government and the federal government have been asking us to build for the last 10 years. And I would argue that when we look at that, we understand, at least I do now after the last 4 years, that's because we as elected officials at the lower tiers are so close to our residents. We live beside these individuals. And it's hard when they don't want a four-story or a three-story complex in their neighborhood to explain to them that the greater good is that we have thousands of people waiting for homes, and that these apartment complexes and these townhomes and these multi-units, which are not traditional in our communities, are the very things that are putting undue pressure at this level of government and forcing our directors like Bill and Rebecca, sorry, Mr. Smith and Ms. Snellgrove, to have to find these unique creative solutions and keep coming back to the tax base for money to provide rental income houses that wouldn't be needed if we had an overabundance of apartments because the market demand would drop those units. I will share very clearly, I, as the mayor of Coburg, have to rent. And people don't understand that in Coburg, for a four-bedroom house, you are at $5,000 a month. For a one-bedroom condo, you are at $2,500 a month. And these are people with two full-time jobs struggling to make rent. So when we have people who, and manufacturers in Coburg, who have hundreds of positions paying close to six figures for these roles, yet they can't fill them because people making $80,000, $90,000, and $100,000 can't find a rental in Coburg, what hope do we have to provide rental income for our vulnerable individuals? And so what I would say is that while we will continue to look for innovative solutions at this level, as we head to a municipal election cycle, I ask the voters, make sure you are voting at your lower tier councils people who understand the issues of housing as a county. Make sure we understand that our job as leaders is not to be liked, but to be respected for the decisions we make in the future. Oftentimes, leaders are asked to make decisions that are unpopular because we understand that the greater good needs to be served. And I would ask that all of us, over the next 5-6 months, go back to our lower tiers with that message that each and every community, inclusive of Coburg, need to start stepping up to provide that number five, the diverse housing supply, so that we don't have to keep coming to this level of government to find more millions of dollars to do what the market could do if we allowed it to do what it does. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'm going to read, anybody further comments? I'm going to read the resolution. That the Social Services Committee receive report 2026-094 for the 2025-2026 Housing and Homelessness Annual Report for information, and further that the committee recommend that County Council receive the report for information. Moved by Warden Crate, seconded by Councillor Hankifsky. All in favor? That's carried.